Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Steve.
It's hard to believe a week's gone by.
I know. It's
so fast.
The time goes fast.
Yeah, it does.
And here we are again. And as you said in the introduction, we're teaching the word and proclaiming the kingdom and telling people about Jesus the Messiah. And we've had, if you were able to listen last week, and I know you all did, we did a program about the change of status and relationship that goes on after Jesus and after the cross, where we go from being disobedient children, slaves to the law, slaves to sin, to becoming adopted sons and daughters of God, and the Holy Spirit working in us, coming into our spirit and allowing us to say Abba, which, as you remember, in the Aramaic language means daddy. So we talked last time about this change in relationship, that now we can call God daddy, that now we're adopted children. And we read a few references from the book of Romans, where Paul writes that because we're adopted sons and daughters, we become co-heirs, we become joint heirs with Jesus, who is the true Son, the only begotten Son, and that we're heirs to the same glory that he has.
Right.
And what a radical transformation this is, and how this is basically what the whole plan of salvation has been about. You know, we always talk about how, you know, all of salvation history is two gardens, two trees, a nice creation, a fall, a restoration. And because of the suffering, death, and the bloodshed by Jesus the Messiah in the horrible, depressing garden and on that horrible, depressing tree, all these things are then rectified to give us this whole new relationship, this whole new status, that then the Holy Spirit tells us that we are now truly children of God, and getting us back to fixing the problem that happened with the fall in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about it, as we talked last week, it's about restoring the relationship that was there that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God. It's about restoring that relationship that was broken mm-hmm. in the fall in the Garden of Eden. And through Christ, through Yeshua, our Messiah, Jesus, that relationship has been restored. The mm-hmm. veil of the temple was split in two, or the veil of the temple was torn in two.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment when Christ was crucified, that relationship, because it was now the blood of the Lamb, mm-hmm. of God's sacrifice, Jesus was on the mercy seat.
Amen.
And the remission of sins, mm-hmm. and that relationship was restored.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we can approach through that blood, the blood of the Lamb, and approach God boldly, mm-hmm. and cry and yeah. call him daddy.
Amen. And, you know, many of those things that Steve just said, of course, are from the book of Hebrews, which is really my favorite book. Although I have many favorite books, the book of Hebrews is my favorite book because it really ties together the two covenants that we've been talking about the last few weeks, the covenant of law, the covenant of grace. And, you know, my favorite part is, you know, how the high priest went in with the blood of goats and bulls and went through the veil. And then Yeshua, Jesus, goes through the veil with his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the high priest put the blood on the mercy seat, which was the top of the ark. Jesus goes to the throne of God with his own blood, and the veil is split. The separation is gone. And this is basically what we talked about last time from the book of Romans, And we're going to continue that a little bit tonight, mostly from the book of Galatians and a little bit from John. But, you know, Paul does such a masterful job of describing this. And as we said, it makes it even more powerful because Paul was a Pharisee and he was a teacher of the law and he was zealous for the law. And then he becomes the apostle of grace, which is just a radical transformation. And so when he writes these things, if we just think and reflect on the fact that the man who's being inspired to write these things was the opposite of these things not too long before this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's only, you know, through God's love and mercy and the sacrifice that was made by Jesus as the plan of salvation got to that point unfolding over a long period of time that Paul was then delivered from the law into grace, just like the rest of humanity would be delivered from law into grace. And as we're going to talk in a little bit, even the Gentiles were going to be brought into this kingdom, which was another radical thought.
Yes.
When Paul was Saul of Tarsus, he would have gone out of his way to not talk to a Gentile or not to be defiled by a Gentile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now he's the apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah, when the Holy once the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles at the Feast of Pentecost, well, I shouldn't say once that happened, but once the sacrifice of Jesus was made on the cross and he rose from the dead and the Spirit came, you know, things started happening that one, you know, the Jewish people, they couldn't, or mm-hmm. really his followers, they couldn't understand that the Messiah was to suffer and lay down his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they, you know, when they're going around baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, well, then the Holy Spirit starts falling on the Gentiles. And mm-hmm. again, they're like,
what's going on here?
Wasn't this promise just for us?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that happens that just.
It took a while for Peter to really get this.
Yeah.
He went kind of back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot that happened that when God's Spirit moves, and I think it's still true today, we see God's Spirit move, and mm-hmm. I think we as human beings still struggle with things that happen. You know, is that, obviously there's some things, you know, that is of God and that isn't of God, but there's some things that do happen that I think we struggle sometimes with, you know, why is God, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I know in my life and my wife, Sandy, our lives, we've seen things happen, and we've just seen God move in powerful ways mm-hmm. at certain times that just go beyond like what we mm-hmm. had experienced or what mm-hmm. we had learned. You know, and we see something different. I was mm-hmm. like, wow.
And as you mentioned last week, that'll only happen if you're open to it happening, if you're docile to what the Spirit is doing, if you're listening to what the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk many times on this program how the world kind of drowns that out and everyone's busy and everyone's under stress and everyone has things to do and everybody has, you know, and these kind of things really make it much more difficult to hear what the Lord's telling you.
Oh, yeah, the busyness of the world.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of noise that.
Yes.
You know, when I say noise, I mean busyness. And it distracts.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we constantly fight against that where we're seeking for that, you know, that mm-hmm. personal time or that mm-hmm. that quiet time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our world, sometimes you need to grab it whenever you can.
Yeah, by the time you have quiet time, you're so tired that all you want to do is go to sleep.
Yeah, your quiet time is to come to sleep, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when we were when we were talking about the Gentiles, and since we are Gentiles, this is, of course, of interest to us.
Yes, very much so.
Steve and I do a lot of work with Jewish believers with, you know, you hear us talking about Messianic Jews on this program, and we always like to explain that people get confused, like, why are you going to a Jewish congregation? Why are you talking to a rabbi? I don't get it. But a Messianic Jew is a Jew who believes in Jesus, Yeshua, as their savior. In other words, they are believers in Jesus, but still do many of the things from the Jewish background, from our Hebrew roots of our faith.
Right.
And we, although we worship with a lot of Messianic believers and work with them, and as you know, we play the music on this show. Who is that guy again whose music? Anyway, we are Gentiles, and happily we're grafted in. You know, Paul, also in Romans, talks about how we are the wild olives that are grafted into the domestic olive tree, which is really pretty cool. And when I was thinking about that, just as you were talking before, I thought about Paul going into these places like in Asia Minor and Greece and Macedonia and then to Italy. And he was encountering these Gentile pagans and bringing them to Jesus as their Messiah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when you think about that, it's pretty mind blowing.
Yeah.
Because here's these people had no idea who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were, had no idea what the Tanakh, the Old Testament was, no idea about the temple, who cares, to all of a sudden, they become believers in Jesus as their Messiah, and as we're going to read in a minute, they're going to become children of Abraham because of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, we're always talking about radical transformations. I mean, that's a pretty radical transformation.
Yeah. And Paul would always say, you know, he would go around, he would preach Christ crucified.
That's right.
And basically stay on that.
Yeah, and that's all he wanted to preach.
Right. Because everything else was,
it
was, the essential point was Christ was ransomed for your soul.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And do you know that?
Yes.
And they came to believe,
That is the basic fundamental. And I've been thinking about this a lot the last few months, and it seems to me that the way the world is going and the way things are in most churches, we really need to get back to that fundamental that Paul says, I just want to preach Christ and Christ crucified.
Amen.
You know, we don't have to go off on tangents or talk about, well, those people over there are nice too, and this is nice too, and everybody's fine, I'm fine, you're fine, everybody's fine. We have to really preach this fundamental fact of Christ and him crucified, just like Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he converted the known world.
Right, right, right. And the, as they baptized, the Holy Spirit fell on those new believers and empowered them to then go out and proclaim the good news of salvation. You know, Jesus, what is it in John chapter 14 or 17 that Jesus prays, Father, I pray that, that for those who will come to believe through their word, that means all of us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, Christ was interceding for us, for all of us who are going to come to believe through the spoken word down through the centuries.
Yes.
As that message was proclaimed. And
And here we are in 2011.
Right.
Because here's you and I sitting at this table. 2,000 years ago, our ancestors were in different parts of the world, but two things they had in common is they were Gentiles and they were pagans.
Right.
They didn't know the God of Israel. They didn't know anything about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't know anything about the 613 laws. They didn't know anything about the temple. They had all their own gods.
Right.
They had all their own stuff. And now here we are. And as you just said, it's from also in the book of Romans, Paul says, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from preaching.
Mm-hmm.
People went through the world preaching this gospel, preaching the good news, and our ancestors came into it.
Right.
It's amazing.
They experienced the love and the mercy of God.
Yes.
And they believed and they followed.
Yeah.
And then they were to share
the
good news.
In a very real way.
In a very real way, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I guess we're pretty excited.
It does, because none of us would, you know, you think if we look at the disciples before they went into the upper room before Pentecost happened.
What a mess.
There wasn't much preaching going on.
No, that's for sure.
But it was only by the power of the Holy Spirit that impelled them with the love of God to go out and preach the good news.
Yeah.
And as we've spoken many times on the show, you know, Paul would go into a city, proclaim the cross of Christ, the salvation. They'd beat him, they'd stone him and leave him for dead, and he'd get back up and go, I got to go back in there and continue to preach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And I, you know, that really exemplifies that when Christ, as we talked about, I think it was a couple weeks ago, how Christ drank the cup.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be anesthetized or anything. He didn't want to be no anesthetic or anything. He took on everything.
Mm-hmm.
He went all the way.
Yeah. The cup of wrath.
And as we, and through faith, as we become, and deepen and walk in our relationship with the Lord, are we willing to go all the way just as Christ went all the way for us? Just as the disciples, you know, Paul and Peter and all the other apostles, Andrew and John, they went all the, you know, they were martyred because they believed in the Messiah.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk about that we minister and worship with, you know, Messianic Jews, and it's understanding that these first believers, they were all Jewish. They were all from the tribe of Judah. And they believed in the Messiah. They believed that Yeshua was the fulfillment of the law, of God's promise.
And that he had fulfilled the messianic prophecies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that message was, proclaimed.
Yeah. The first believers, of course, were all Jews.
All Jews.
For quite some time. Well, since we're talking about, we haven't gotten to the scripture reading yet, but because we're talking about becoming adopted sons and daughters and having an intimacy and a relationship with God, we're going to let you listen to an awesome song, which is from the book Song of Songs, or sometimes called Song of Solomon. And then maybe we'll have Steve make some comments on this afterwards. So let's just listen on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
Thank you. listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace. Now, that song you just heard is sung by Paul Wilbur. It's called Dance With Me. And I hope you got a chance to listen to the words. The words come from the book, The Song of Songs, The Song of Solomon. And Solomon wrote the book. We're not going to get into talking about Solomon, but as he wrote it, he couldn't possibly have known what this was implying. But it's just an amazing thing of, in this covenant of grace and this new relationship we have, that God wants to dance with us. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to do things with us. He wants to show us beautiful creation. He wants to just be with him. And it's, you know, it was written, 900 and some years before Jesus the Messiah came, but it's just an amazing example of a prophecy, really. It's not usually considered a prophecy, but it really is, about how the relationship was going to change and our status was going to change. And I don't know anything about music, and I can't explain the music of this or the, so, you know, maybe we'll see if Steve wants to make a couple of comments on that song.
Well, you've done a pretty good job so far. I think the essence of it is, it's a love song. And really, that's at the heart of worship.
Yes.
Is that, you know, you're singing a love song to the lover of your soul.
Mm.
And if Jesus is the lover of my soul, then I want to sing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the, you know, God loves us with an eternal paternal love that, you know, that like a parent has for their child.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us with that same love, even more, mm-hmm. even more, because it's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God wants to just embrace us with his love and allow. I know that we were on a retreat one time, and, you know, the retreat director said, you know, the place where God wants to bring you is where you can allow him to love you.
Mm.
And for some of you, that's going to be very difficult to do.
Yes.
Because we put up barriers. We put up walls. You know, we get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But God's love can break through all that if mm-hmm. we allow God to love us. And he'll restore us. He'll make our hearts new again. And then we can go out and proclaim what he's done for us. You know, in this song, Dance With Me, you know, with you I will go. You are my love. You are my fair one. The winter is past and the springtime mm-hmm. has come. You know, to me you have run, my beloved. You've captured my heart. You know, God loves us with his whole heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like in 1 Peter, you know, 2:9, it says, you know, that Christ has, you must proclaim what God has done for you mm-hmm. because he's purchased you at the price of his own blood.
Amen.
You know, and we're called to proclaim that, what God's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think Peter talks about, or Paul talks about, that even for a just man, someone might mm-hmm. find the courage to die.
Right, right.
But while we were still sinners,
right.
God
Amen.
Proves his love for us,
yes.
that he sent his son,
mm-hmm.
Jesus,
mm-hmm.
to die in our place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that while we were still separated mm-hmm. from God, when we
right.
were still separated from God through sin, he laid down his life
mm-hmm.
for us. And that's the essence. I think that's the essence of this whole
yes.
part of what we're talking mm-hmm. about. And this song, Dance With Me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a very difficult book to study. And if you read it, you know, it sounds pretty weird at times, but it's amazing because the woman involved talks about how she's dark and she's, you know, basically she's not worthy. She's a sinner, but, you know, her lover keeps coming and wants to dance with her and be with her. And it's just the whole plan of salvation put in a kind of a different way. And it's, again, we've been talking about transformation and a change in status. And also that what you mentioned about while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, you know, is also from the book of Romans. And it's part of the, which many of you may know as the Roman Road, which is kind of like all these verses from Romans that start with, you know, the wages of sin is death and then eternal mm-hmm. life because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And it's just truly an amazing summary of the covenant of grace that Paul writes so eloquently about. And speaking of Paul, we're going to move into Galatians now. So, Steve, if you could read Galatians 3:26-29, let's start with that, since okay. we were just talking about Gentiles.
Okay. For through faith you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free person. There is not male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise.
Oof.
Wow.
Wow. So even those pesky Gentiles can come in. As we just talked about a little while ago, you know, the Gentiles become, you know, we talk about being co-heirs with Christ. Now mm-hmm. we see here that the kingdom has come in a way that the Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jews in that kingdom.
Yeah.
And it was against what they thought. You know, it was, you know, the descendancy from Abraham and, you know, all through the genealogy that you study in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And, you know, these are flesh and blood descendants, flesh and blood heredity. These are real people with real biological bodies, with real DNA that's descended from that person. Yeah. We don't have any common DNA with Abraham, probably, but a Jewish person, well, I mean, you know, a little bit. We have some, but yeah. but a Jewish person has more. I mean, they are physically descended from him. And, you know, the being in God's covenant people was a matter of flesh and blood. You know, I or you as a Gentile, had we been, you know, living there in Jerusalem during the time of Jesus, we could have gone and been what the people called God-fearers.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have studied Judaism and we could have studied the books and we could have had the mikvah bath and we could have been worshiping, but we were still Gentiles.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it was determined by flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Now it's different because now yeah. it's determined by God's sovereignty through what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So that we as Gentiles become co-heirs.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about when the woman's at the table and she's, asking the Lord and, you know, she says, even the dog eats the scraps mm-hmm. from the master's mm-hmm. table. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is, you know, he hears this, yeah. this faith that this woman has,
mm-hmm.
and what she asks for is given mm-hmm. because of her great faith.
Yes.
Believing that this promise that is for the house of Israel, mm-hmm. he's, you know, Jesus said, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel,
mm-hmm.
that this promise, you know, it's just going to overflow right. onto the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And when you think about it, God sovereignly picks one man, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's, you know, as it says in the book of Hebrews, he and Sarah are as good as dead. They're old. They're
yeah.
barren. They're, you know, they've been on Social Security already for years and says that they're going to have a son. Now, you know, they go to the senior center and tell everybody there that God tells them they're going to have a son. They would have been laughed out of the place. I mean, they were old.
Oh.
So when the time of the people going into Egypt, they were basically a big family.
Yeah.
It was the descendants through Isaac and Jacob, who then finally had some significant numbers of descendants with 12 boys and their wives and their children. There's 70 people went into Egypt. So basically it was like a family reunion went into Egypt.
Yeah.
While they were in Egypt, they became a nation. So 600 and some thousand men came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
So when you count women and children, you're talking about a couple of million, 2.5 million people. are then delivered out as a nation. They're not a family anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're settled in the land as the nation. But then through Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, now it becomes a kingdom of everybody in the world, because now the Gentiles also become sons and daughters because of the cross, yeah. Not because of their flesh and blood heredity.
Right.
And it's another radical change. And when people say, oh, you know, you Christians are so narrow-minded and you're so bigoted, how can you think that that's the only way? Well, it's the only way.
Yeah, it's the only way.
There was no other way that this kingdom can come together like this. There's no other way that salvation can come out of this rebellious bunch of people that are all over the world to being saved into God's kingdom, mm-hmm. can only come by what Jesus Yeshua did, because that suffering and blood is the only way that sin can be dealt with. And, you know, when you think about it, he took the punishment for what we've done. So either if we don't accept the punishment he took, then we have to take the punishment.
Right.
And so as a result of that, we turn to him and we're accepted into the kingdom. And it doesn't matter what our biology is.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're Italian or Chinese or Polish or you're from Argentina or whatever you are. You're grafted into the same kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And, you know, Paul does such a good job.
That's the good news of Christian. That's the good news of salvation.
Yeah. So while we're on a roll, let's go to Galatians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5.
Okay. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption. As mm-hmm. proof that you are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we read last week in Romans
mm-hmm.
chapter 8, where the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and tells us to emphatically cry out, Abba, because now we're adopted sons, we're co-heirs, we're we're joint heirs with Jesus, the real son. So here Paul's writing that as this plan of salvation unfolds, when the fullness of time had come, in other words, from our point of view, it looked like a long time went by. I mean, right. Holy moly, from Adam and Eve, I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to fix the problem. He's going to crush your serpent's head. All those thousands of years went by. All those people in Egypt and wandering in the wilderness and settling in the land and the prophets coming. I mean, from our point of view, it's a lot of time went by.
Yeah.
But here, you know, it's when the fullness of time had come. In other words, it was the time was fulfilled. It was the right time.
It was God's time.
It was God's time. And this time was picked sovereignly by God as the time where this was going to happen. And regardless of what we thought, you know, and Paul writes that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So in other words, he's born of a woman, just like everybody else is born.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else is born. And, you know, a true human nature. And he comes in to redeem, to ransom those that are under the law. The Greek word that we translate as redeemed or ransomed actually means the price that you would pay for a slave, the price that you would pay to redeem a slave. So he comes in humanity, he perfectly keeps the law, and because of his death, he frees us from the legal demands of the law. I mean, this is just amazing. So that our relationship changes, because we go from demands to relationship. We go from this is what God demands of us to now we're in a relationship, he says, as sons and daughters, as children.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember who wrote this, but the summary of this in one of the commentaries that I had read said that the son of man, meaning us, becomes a son of God because the son of God became a son of man.
Amen.
And that's the key to the relationship. And he ransoms us. The price that you pay to buy a slave, to free a slave, is the word that's used there.
Yeah.
So he ransoms us from that law. And I'm not going to have you read it, but 2 Colossians 2:14 says, you know, he nails that to the cross. The condemnation that we're due, he nails to the cross.
Right.
So that we're not condemned from that if we repent and turn to him. And we're freed from the legal demands of the law, and we're adopted as sons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's so amazing that again, Paul writes, just like what he wrote in Romans that we talked about last week, that he sends forth the spirit of his son into our hearts and we cry out, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
So we're no longer a slave, but we're a son. And
right.
If we're a son, we're an heir. And this all happens through Christ.
Yeah. And as you're talking, what keeps coming to mind is how all we have to do is turn to him and receive this free gift. It's as simple as that. You know, if you look at how you were talking about how God chose Abraham, you know, one man and Sarah, one woman, and they were well past the age of childbearing, and and from those two people, he said they would make of them a great nation. You know, the nation of Israel. And I think a lot of times we kind of forget nowadays, you know, the nation of Israel has been reestablished since 1948, but the nation of Israel is Jacob. Who, when he wrestled with God, name was changed to Israel.
That's
because
right.
It meant he wrestled with God.
Yep.
And so that nation is a people. A people and that is chosen by God. And how he chose to have Jesus born of a virgin. You know, Mary and Joseph were going to take care of the Son of God.
Yeah.
And nurse him, feed him. He was going to grow up.
Born under the law. Born of a woman, born under the law.
Yeah.
Doing all the law things.
He was a frail, helpless little child. Little baby. The Son of Man. You know, our Redeemer. You know, it's just...
Amen. Mind-boggling.
Boggles your mind, yeah.
And if you don't think about that, 20 times a day, you just don't get it. We're going to do another break here and have you listen to a song here and... Maybe we'll have Steve comment on it again. This is The Gift of Grace and the Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
Could just David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah was born. Amongst kings and some peasants, and all Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the air. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I'm Phil Giuliani here with Stephen Garchar, and that was a song called Show Me Your Face. And Steve, would you like to make a few comments about that?
Sure. That song is on the CD Lion of Judah, and that's Paul Wilbur singing that song. And it's written by Don Potter. Don's a really gifted songwriter, but Paul, as he sings that, there's just such intimate passion in the singing of that song, where he talks about Moses standing on the mountain, waiting for God to pass by, and God tells him, "You can't see me. You know, turn your back, and I'll pass by you." And all Moses sees is the back of God. What happens to Moses is he is illuminated by the light of God that they have to put a veil over him, over his face, because he's so bright. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. And how God calls us to boldly seek his face through the blood of Jesus, the Messiah. You know, in a manger, David knew there was something more. In a manger, Messiah was born. It's just a real... I think a beautiful song of seeking God, asking God, "Lord, show me your face." And knowing that in the presence of God, we're going to need help to stand, because God's glory is going to be so great. And if you've ever experienced, you know, a time of worship where the glory of God's ever been manifested, you feel the weight of God's glory, and you've it's just
it's the kabod, is the Hebrew word. It's a heavy presence.
A heavy presence, and it's hard to stand. It's hard to breathe.
And he tells Moses, "You can't see me and live. No man can see me and live. Can't experience the full glory while we're in these bodies." And yet how interesting it is that although Moses caught kind of a glimpse of the glory, when Jesus was here on earth walking around with his friends, you know, the book of Colossians says the fullness of the deity dwelled in him. So here was this glory that was in a form that those guys could see and they could talk to. You know, in the first letter of John talks about this, you know, great, amazing fact that we talked with him, we touched him, we heard him, and he was God. So the whole thing, it's another evidence of how the plan of salvation unfolds. You can't see my glory, but now here's the Messiah making us adopted children of God.
And, you know, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about when Jesus took three of his disciples up on Mount Tabor and he was transfigured. They saw God's glory. And, you know, as we know, Peter says, "Lord, it's good that you and Moses and Elijah are here. Should we build three tents? Let's stay here."
Yes.
They did not want to leave that glory.
Yes.
And, you know, as we're talking about being an adopted child of God, being heirs to the kingdom, I think that one of the things that can really prevent us from really embracing or just receiving God's love is maybe a thinking that we're not worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is nobody's worthy
of it.
And we're not. Nobody's worthy of it. But it's a free gift.
Right.
And I think let's take a moment, if we could, to pray.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're listening right now, we just ask, Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you sent your son to redeem those who were lost. You sent him for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you sent him that his grace, that your grace would even cover the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. That's all of us. So we would pray, Lord, that at this moment, if there's anyone that's listening, that if there is any blockages that are preventing you from just opening your heart and receiving God's love, that the Holy Spirit would just move in a powerful way to release anybody from bondage,
mm-hmm.
and let the light of Christ in and the glory of God be revealed in your life.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. And we've been teaching this lesson about going from disobedient children to sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters, and being co-heirs to the glory that Christ has, because he's the real son. We're adopted sons and daughters. And it's in the prayer that Steve just prayed, you know, the Holy Spirit can convict you that you are a disobedient son or daughter, that you stand condemned. And that's not a popular thing to say in today's world, because after all, who are you to say that what I'm doing is wrong? Who are you to say what's right and what's wrong? But the fact is, we stand condemned, and the Spirit comes into us and convicts us of that mm-hmm. sin and turns us to Jesus.
Right.
You know, Jesus said when the Spirit comes, when the Comforter comes, when the Paraclete comes, he's going to bring to mind everything that I told you.
Right.
And he's going to show us, he's going to show everyone what their salvation is.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been away. It doesn't matter how far you've been away. You can be the prodigal son living in a pigsty, and you can come back to the Father. You can be covered with robes of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You can be reconciled to the Father. You can call him Abba. You can dance with him.
Amen.
All the
Amen.
Things that we've done.
Proud,
and
Daddy.
It's all open to you. And, you know, you're going to say, like you just said a little while ago, Steve, that I'm not worthy of that. Well, of course not. Nobody is worthy of that. No one is worthy of that. Mm-hmm. But it's all open to you. This whole path of, this whole path opens up, this whole plan of salvation opens up in such a way that anyone can come through it. Anyone can come through the door. There's only one door. There's not 58 doors.
Right.
There's not two doors.
Jesus himself says,
amen.
You pass through the gate.
That's right.
If you pass through anything other than the gate,
mm-hmm.
you try and climb over the wall. Robbers and thieves do that.
Yes.
Jesus himself says that.
Yes.
And that is so that we come face to face, that we can see clearly where we stand before mm-hmm. God's holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. If you know, God still gives you that grace to choose to turn to him or not to turn mm-hmm. to him. I mean, when God's tugging at your heart and you sense that love of God, I would pray that the grace would be there, that you would turn to him. But there is so much love that God has. It's infinite. Mm-hmm. It's just infinite. And
yes.
once you experience that love of God, nothing in this world really compares to it.
And nothing and no one is beyond that redemption.
No one is beyond redemption.
And, you know, I tell people that Hitler could have been saved had he turned to God and repented,
mm-hmm.
because the blood of Jesus covers even a person like that.
Yeah.
A person who would apparently be the personification of evil can mm-hmm. repent.
Right.
And if for those of you that have seen The Passion of the Christ, we talked about this a couple of shows ago. If you think that there's many other ways to go to heaven, then Jesus was a fool, mm-hmm. or he was a madman.
Yeah.
But that horrible thing that happened is the only way that sin can be dealt with. It's the only way of salvation. It's the only door. It's the straight and narrow path.
Right.
There is no other path.
Right.
Because as he said in Matthew, the road to destruction is broad.
Very broad.
And most people are on it.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you listening, I just hope that these lessons we've done the last couple of weeks about becoming adopted sons and daughters, that the Holy Spirit can use that in a way to really penetrate you and really bring you to the cross, because that's the only hope of salvation.
Yeah.
Whew.
Amen.
Coming to the end of another show.
And this is an awesome song to end the show with.
I wish we had another hour.
Next week.
Yeah. Well, it's been great being with you, and I hope you have an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. We'll be back with you next week, and maybe we'll talk about God's love next time.
Yeah.
So, well, listen to the music, and we'll see you next week.
And we pray that the Lord's Holy Spirit would enlighten your heart and mind to the love of God. Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone.
An altar without a lamb, a covenant ring, a hand raised in faith that God himself.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.